So today we have Brenda Runkel as our speaker on being willing. And so I'll open up in a word of prayer and you can start. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time that we as ladies can gather and learn about what you say in your word about being a woman of excellence. And so, Lord, I just pray right now for Brenda as she comes and shares what you've laid on her heart. Lord, I pray that you would be with her mouth, Lord. May she say the things that you have planned for her to say, and that it would challenge us and help us to grow more into being women who glorify and honor you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, so we are in Proverbs 31:13. She seeks wool and flax. She finds what she needs for her household and works with willing hands. And I was reading the Valley of Vision while I was working on this. And let's see. So I'm going to read this with my little scratch-outs and stuff. True religion. Lord God Almighty, I ask not to be enrolled amongst the earthly great and rich, but to be numbered with the spiritually blessed. Make it my present supreme persevering concern to obtain those blessings which are spiritual in nature, eternal in their continuance, satisfying in their possession. Preserve me from a false estimate of the whole or a part of my character. May I pay regard to my principles as well as my conduct, my motives as well as my actions. Help me never to mistake the excitement of my passions for the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Never to judge my religion by occasional impressions and impulses, but by my constant and prevailing disposition. May my heart be right with you. May my life become the gospel. May I maintain a supreme regard to another and better world, and feel and confess myself a stranger and a pilgrim here. Afford me all the direction, defense, support, and consolation for my journey, and grant me a mind stayed upon you. Give me large abundance of the supply of the Spirit of Jesus, that I may be prepared for every duty. Love thee in all my mercies, submit to you in every trial, trust you when walking in darkness, and have peace in you in life's changes. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief and uncertainties. I think that kind of applies to willing hands, that we would want our life to change in such a way that our life is, like that said, the gospel. I've come to the conclusion that having willing hands is this: a desire to do whatever that might be without a feeling of obligation or compulsion to do so. I haven't had any tasks thrust upon me for quite some time. When that had been done to me, I'm pretty sure that doing the task was not done willingly, but I did it only because I was forced to, and probably did it in anger. I hope that in my growing walk with the Lord, that even if a task were thrust upon me, that I would now be thoughtfully and joyfully willing. In the past few months, I've been trying to understand what this verse in Proverbs means to us now. Willing hands applies to all ages in whatever your worldly role is. When we are young, our parents help us to learn to be willing. And as we grow as believers in the knowledge of our Lord and God, our willingness should also change and grow. One very big reason to have willing hands is Jesus. He was willing to serve to the point of death, and he is our example. Death. That is the depth of Christ's willingness, and he is our example. Christ was willing to come down from the glory of heaven. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me, to be born as a man. Philippians 2:6-8. Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, to suffer indignation, scorn, to be beaten, and to be put to death. Matthew 17:22, Jesus said to the Son of Man, Jesus said, the Son of Man is about to believe. I'm sorry, does somebody have a Bible that could, I didn't bring mine. 17:22 Matthew, read that, because I have some typos in here, I think.
Matthew 17:22?
Yeah.
As they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day.
Yeah. Yes, I did have that messed up. These are some verses about willingness. 1 Chronicles 29:9. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 9:5. The gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. That's like an exaction is like an obligation. 1 Peter 5:2. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, eagerly, not being domineering. Ephesians 6:5. Obey with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Work not as a people pleaser, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Render service with good will. Work as to the Lord. And I have an excerpt from my Noel book from Paul Tripp. This is, it's amazing as I was trying to figure out willing hands that things just keep popping up all the time. So this was like December 2nd. This is kind of, he's talking about unwillingness. One of the dark character qualities of sin that we don't recognize as much as we should is unwillingness. I can't believe it. We're often unwilling to do what God says if it doesn't make sense to us. We're often unwilling to inconvenience ourselves for the needs of someone else. We're regularly unwilling to wait. We're often unwilling to be open and honest. We're too often unwilling to consider the loving rebuke of another. We struggle to be willing to say no to our wrong thoughts and desires. We often struggle to be willing to answer God's ministry call. Often we are unwilling to admit that we are wrong. Too often, we struggle to serve willingly and give generously. Unwillingness is one of sin's powerful, damaging results. And then it goes on about the Christmas story and Christ's willingness. I used Google to find some definitions. Willingness is being prepared to do something, being happy to do, putting aside your own desires, saying yes. Some synonyms are eagerness, enthusiasm, compliance, consent, and zeal. Then when we're not willing, we are disinterested, reluctant, we have aversion, slowness, half-heartedness, and hesitation. I know I can apply all those negative words to myself. I have two examples from my life on lessons in willingness when I was unwilling. My first example was from a long time ago when I was a kid, and this day is just etched in my memory as if it just only happened seconds ago. My dad liked to teach us lessons, not really with words, and just kind of tell us. It would have been helpful if he did, but he didn't do that regularly because he had a speech impediment, so he liked to be a living example. And one day I was standing out in the front yard and my dad was standing by his car, and he asked me if I wanted to go for a ride with him. My head went zzzz, and I'm thinking, ooh, sometimes dad's rides are to gross places, and it's boring, and I don't really want to do the boring part, but I love being with my dad, and I want to go for a ride. So my answer was, where? My dad didn't like that. That was showing that I didn't trust him, but I did trust him. That I didn't love him, but I did love him. I loved being with my dad. And so my dad just looked at me, and he said, never mind. And he walked around, got in his car, and left. And I was so sad, because I thought I hurt my dad, because I asked where, and not just go with him. When he came back, he explained, I don't remember where he said he was going to go, because that part I didn't really care about. But he explained to me that he was going to stop at the Dairy Queen on the way home. And he came home with his Dairy Queen. And he walked by me and he said, well, we were going to go to the Dairy Queen, but you needed to know where. Yeah. And that is, yeah, I still remember that. It was like such a weird and acute lesson. And it still hurts me. And I never even thought about it, about like, talking to him about that, you know. But it still hurts me an awful lot. I did trust him. I'd give anything to go with him anywhere right now. My other lesson was from about 10 years ago. And this is a serious lesson. Because 10 years ago, I was walking with the Lord and learning and growing and, you know, not a very good believer, but I think I'm getting better, growing, because I always am reading the Word. I go to church. I'm, like, here. And I really like believers because they're my people. So my lesson from years ago, 10 years ago, something like that, is a big story. So my husband was in seminary, and it took him 10 years to complete this because he works full-time. And the reason he went to seminary is because he wanted to learn how to read the Bible in its original language. So he can do that now. But he became a believer. I can't remember what year it was, but sometime before 10 years ago. So he's still kind of a fairly new believer. And he was so excited about everything, about God's Word and church and our missionaries, the Stouts. And he had a discussion with Pastor Dave. He meets with him regularly, and I think he was doing this then, like once a month he meets with Pastor Dave. So we had our yearly visit coming up, and Pastor Dave came to our house, as he does with all of us, and he was talking to us, asking about things, and he turns and he looks at me and he says, so Brenda, how do you feel about being a missionary in Turkey? And I looked at my husband, and I looked back at Dave, and I said, what? I don't know anything about being a missionary in Turkey. Nobody said anything to me about that. And Pastor Dave, if he blushes, I don't know for sure, but I'm sure he was like, purple. And I said, well, to be a missionary in Turkey, which I don't want to be a missionary in Turkey, we have 3 dogs, 2 cats, and my son living in our house. And before I could be a missionary in Turkey, they would have to all be gone. Well, Pastor Dave made his exit as comfortably as he could. And I'm sure his silent prayer was to crack that rock-hard heart of mine and, you know, bang me over the head with it a couple times too, maybe. But, he finally left our house I'm sure our visit ended really quite shortly after that, and I'm pretty sure my husband and I had a discussion. And I think it went something like, before you decide what you are going to do with my life, I suggest you talk to me first before telling everyone else, and then I find out like this. I don't remember what he said. I was just like this big rage monster. Well, some months went by. I don't know how. I can't remember the time frame because I just can't remember the time frame. But some months went by, and Guy and I were out in the churchyard with a family from our church doing some gardening and stuff, and that was all good and fine. And then we went to lunch to Scotty B's, and we're sitting at this round table. There were six of us. And so the gentleman, who was an elder at the time, looked at me and said, "So Brenda, are you on the same page about turkey yet?" And I said, "Nope, not on the same page about turkey. As far as I know, we're not going to turkey." And well, that was also a very uncomfortable rest of the time in the restaurant. They tried to talk about something else, but I'm pretty sure I was purple. And I know that this poor elder was probably purple. In fact, I think all of the elders knew Guy's plan before I did. So then there was some time that went by after that. And so our dog got sick, and her legs slid out from under her, and then another one of our dogs attacked her, and the other one was like barking at her, and she got sick real quick, and we took her to the vet and had her put down, and we're just, you know, blubbering in tears because these are our pets. And then about 2 months later, another dog got sick, was having seizures, and got sick super fast. And we took him to the vet, and he was there for about $5,000. And the night that I left him there overnight, I remember this dog looking up at me like, "Why are you leaving me here?" And he died overnight. And then I think it was 2 weeks later, our other dog started having seizures, and that went on for about a week, and we had him put down. Then our cat got sick having seizures, and took him to the vet and had him put down. Then our other cat started having seizures, and I was holding this one in my lap, and he died, and we buried him. And I think it was not too long afterwards when God decided to poke my words back in my face and said, "Do you remember what you said?" I got on the phone. I called Dave. It was probably 7 o'clock at night. And I said, "Dave, can you come over here? I have something very important I need to tell you." And he said, "Yeah, I can be there in 15 minutes. So he was on his way, and I told my husband, who was sitting at his desk doing whatever he was doing, and I said, "I called Pastor Dave, and I asked him to come over. I have to tell him something very important." My husband freaked out, and he's just yelling at me, "What do you mean you called Pastor Dave, and you asked him to come over here? You want to tell him something?" And I looked at him and said, "Why don't you just," I yelled it back. I had to crank out the police voice because he's pretty loud. So I did that, and I yelled at him, "If you would just shut up, I'll tell you." And I told him very quickly what this was. And I said, "So I have to tell him this." And he later told me, he said, "I thought you were going to tell him that you want a divorce from me." And I thought, "What? Are you nuts?" So Pastor Dave came over, and I looked at him, and I said, I told him the story, and I said, I don't care where I go. I can go this second, tomorrow, anytime, whatever. I'll be a missionary or do whatever, anywhere. So if Guy wants to go to Turkey, I don't care, I'll go. I will just leave everything behind and go. I don't care what the situation is. God will work it out. And that is a very harsh lesson. Because I thought, oh my goodness, my son Aaron is next in line for death. And I didn't need to wait for that hammer. So that's a pretty hard lesson. I think it's really important to I think listening is really important, and of course knowing your own heart. Oh, I didn't know my own heart. I didn't know I was a total rock heart. But that was a really good lesson, and it's still hard when I think about it, but boy, oh boy. There were 5 animals and 1 son. Nope. It was a very, very hard lesson. I'm glad I finally understood this lesson. At least I understand what was going on. And I was certainly being unwilling. I know my husband loves me. I know that. And I trust him. But he didn't tell me about Turkey. Although, I think if he were to do that now, I would just say, okay, I hope so. I hope so. Mm-hmm. And that I wouldn't go and cross God on something. It's not a good idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah. God knows us. He knows if we have willing hands or willing hearts. He knew my heart, and he made it very clear to me that I needed to change, and that I needed a change of heart. I've been working on real willingness, and it's something I have to question myself on practically every day, probably more during the seconds. But I do want, and this is a prayer of mine, I want my desires to be what God desires. And I want my will to be his will. After Job had his discourse with God, and then God corrected his wrong thinking, God blessed him with more children, replaced his fortune, and he lived another 140 years. I don't know if I'll do that. The next morning after our last pet died, a little black feral cat came to our door, and my husband decided to feed it. And I told him, why don't you feed it? But he kept feeding it, and our friend Wilma had a bunch of feral cats at her old house, and she kept feeding them, and the mama cat kept coming back and being pregnant and having a bunch of babies. So I knew that we were going to have to capture this cat. And the next time, she disappeared for a while. The next time she came back, this little bitty baby cat came back like this, like a beach ball with a head and a tail. And I thought, oh, okay. So she was living under our house. And a few months later, she came out, and she was no longer like this. She was like this. And so he started feeding her again. And then eventually a bunch of little kitty cats came out from under our house, and I enticed them all into our house and closed the door and put cages and barricades in our bedroom. And we had, she had 6 cats that time, and I wasn't able to capture her right away with her kitties, but I lured her in by the sounds of her kitties, and she finally came back in the house into the caged in area, and we had them all set and ready to go for having them spayed and neutered. And the day before she was set to go there, she gave birth to 4 more kitties. So we hauled them all in, and Mama Cat had to go in with baby cats, so we had all these cat carriers and all this stuff. Well, anyhow, got them spayed and neutered, and then another, whatever, 3 months later, we had the other ones spayed or something. I don't remember, anyhow. What was a big haul of stuff. Well, we have 5 pets again. God took them away, and God replaced them. And every time, well, now I love our kitties, but every time I would think about, he fed those cats, that cat, and now we have 5 cats, and I don't want any more pets. And then I think, no, I love the kitties. I love the kitties. Thank you, God, for the kitties. Thank you. I love them. I will take care of them. I'll feed them. I'll care for them. I won't feed any more feral cats.
Except for the one that wandered into your house.
Oh, one wandered into our house. We have 2 black cats. And the black cat was sitting at our cat food dish. And I looked. I thought, that cat looks weird. And I looked for the little nipped off part of the ear. Because they nip off the ear when they do feral cat stuff. Anyhow. And I thought, that's not one of my cats. Well, the cat went out, and it came in a few more times, but our big cat sits at right in front of the cat door, about maybe 4 feet in front of the cat door, and she sits there like this now. And I thought, oh, you're keeping this cat out. Good. So really, I really don't want any more kitties. 5 is enough. One time we had...
You had 11.
Yeah. There's a lot of cats
that's
in our house.
That's a lot of cats.
That's a lot of cats. We did have 7 2 years ago, but one left us and another one went away. And instead of being angry and upset about it, I have to thank God that that we had them for this time and that we have 5 kitties now. And I do thank God for that. I'm thankful for my kitties. Does this help at all, understanding willing hands?
Huh? Yes.
Does? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How?
Yes. Is it interactive?
I have some questions too.
Well, okay.
Yeah, you might have some.
We can wait for. Yeah. Well, anyhow. Yeah, that's. I kept asking myself, how's this? Well, anyhow. Yep. As I asked my counselees, I would say, how do you apply Proverbs 31:13 to your life? She gathers flax and wool. She finds what she needs for her household and works with willing hands. So I would say, live obedient to God's word. In order to do that, you must read God's word. It's the bread of life, Deuteronomy 8:3. Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, Mark 12:30-31. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness rather than for yourself from the world. That's Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Live out your faith in Christ by sharing God's good word with those you are around. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Be freely and happily giving of your resources, whatever they may be.
You guys have resources.
2 Corinthians 9:7-8. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Work daily to stop sinning. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are God's temples and that God's Spirit dwells in you? When we sin, we must remember to repent and to ask for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Work on not repeating the same sin over and over. Hebrews 10:26-27. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. And Romans 7:15. For I do not understand my own action, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. We must keep on destroying our sin and grow in holiness. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are becoming transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. If you need wisdom, ask God. James 1:5. Let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Grow in your walk with the Lord. Do not be satisfied. Attend church, go to groups, read your Bible, pray, memorize scripture. We don't gather wool and flax anymore. Those were normal daily tasks. So do your normal daily tasks with a desire to please God with willing hands. Father God, I pray that you would change our hearts so that our desires would be what you desire, that your will would be our will. Help us to grow into the image of your Son, Jesus, who is willing to sacrifice his life for us. I thank you and I praise you, Father God. Amen.
Amen.